What's Up Yuma with Johnny Porter is sponsored by Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, offering solutions for those who value financial planning. YIVWM.com.
Jilly from Philly.
Nick Papagiorgio from Yuma.
What's up, Yuma? Welcome to another episode of What's Up, Yuma Radio. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Ronnie.
And on today's program, we have Valerie and Hillary from the Humane Society of Yuma. Thank you guys for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. So which one of you is Hillary and which one's Valerie for everybody out there in the radio and
she
YouTube world?
She has a name tag on, bro.
I said radio world.
Hillary Mulhern.
Yes.
Valerie Beebe.
But now yes. Ronnie's just showing off right now. That's what that was.
They she's prepped like, us on the correct.
She's like, I can get the last name. Cecilia, can we bring her camera down a little bit, the one that's on them? They look a little short.
So this is Hillary.
Yes.
But, to my right.
How long have you guys been with the Humane Society?
All in all, I've been with the Humane Society for 10 years now.
Wow.
I did take a little break from 2019 to 2023. I had my second child. So I stayed
Congrats.
At home and then COVID happened. And when he was ready to go back to school, I was mm-hmm. like, I'm ready to go back to work. And I went back to my my favorite place,
It's your favorite place, huh?
You know, it feels like home.
Okay.
It really does.
H-Soy.
Yeah. H-Soy, yeah.
That's the acronym. Yeah. My friend Melissa. Hi, Melissa. I think she might be watching. She used to volunteer and work with you guys.
Yeah.
And she just said, the H-Soy is getting some appreciation.
Yeah.
Humane Society of Yuma.
So how about you?
I started as a volunteer. The first event I didn't even go into the shelter. I went straight here for the fur ball.
Oh, okay.
And I became a volunteer for about 10 months. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know what? You're pretty awesome, and we want you in the cat world. So,
we're going to talk about that here in a little bit because you do something very cool with cats that I don't even know how you do it, but we'll talk about it. Our connection to Yuma. Both of you from Yuma, or where? How'd you are from here? Okay, born and raised too.
No, I'm from San Diego originally.
Okay, and then how'd you end up here at Yuma?
My husband's career brought us out here 11 years ago in November. So,
what does he do?
He works for the state of California, but he was, prior to that, he was in the Marine Corps.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So you're here in Yuma, and so right away you start volunteering, or?
It took me a few months, but I made a friend, and one day she was like, hey, I need to go get my cat microchipped. Do you want to come to the shelter with me? Mm-hmm. And I was like, sure, why not? And the rest is history. I signed up to be a volunteer as well.
So you just went with a friend and you were like, oh, this is a cool place to be. And,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
I volunteered for a cat rescue in San Diego for a little while. And so it was already kind of an interest of mine.
Sure.
And so when I went to the shelter the first time, I was like, maybe I could volunteer here and get to know people. And I was
Make
only
some
a volunteer.
Cat friends.
Exactly.
So how did you feel about coming to Yuma?
You know, I didn't know what to think at first. I had only ever passed through Yuma, in the summertime
and got gas
on road
or something. Yeah, that's it.
Stopped and got some Taco Bell. And
Getting out of the car and thinking like, who would live here? And then I've been here for as many years as I have. But
honestly, that's the normal reaction.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm from here. I was born here. I mean, I moved around, but most people, when they have to move here, they're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And then it's really not that bad.
It's really not. And once you get to know the community, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what is keeping us here, is the amazing Yuma community and how it comes together in people's times of need. So.
Sure.
So, okay. So from volunteering, it sounds like both of you started in that direction. Then how'd you become official at the location and get a paycheck, not just, helping out? I'll let you, whoever go first.
Yeah. So I volunteered only for a couple of months. I was a cat cuddler.
Cuddler?
Yeah, I would go in and just hang out
with
kittens.
She's amazing with cats, by the way.
Thanks.
Oh my, just the kittens? Big ones, too?
Yeah, all cats.
All ages.
I'm a cat lady. I'm a certified cat lady.
Okay.
A certified cat crazy lady?
Yep, that's me.
I love it.
Oh, okay. But she didn't say crazy, Ronnie. Stop insulting
all
her.
All cat people are crazy.
Oh, okay.
No,
well, I guess.
I would prefer to have a cat these days versus that. I have no animals. I have three kids. I consider them wild animals.
They can be.
If we were to get an animal, I'm asking my husband for a cat, and he's like, no. He said, no, he's allergic. So
I am too. I'm allergic to dogs and cats.
Okay,
and
but you don't care.
No, I'm
YOLO. You're like YOLO.
They're worth the hives. Yeah. Like,
I'm highly medicated, so it doesn't affect me very much.
She's like, I'm really high right now.
Not that kind of medicated.
Oh, okay, all right. Maybe whatever.
I've never abused Allegra like that. Jeez.
Oh man, but yeah, I started.
We're
gonna
have an intervention after this.
I know, right?
Hillary, you need help.
Oh no.
Okay, just so you were a cat cuddler.
Yeah, and then only 2 months. You know, I was there as a volunteer, and then a position opened up in admin. It's a position we don't have anymore. It's the development and licensing coordinator. We don't handle licensing anymore, but. I was like, okay, let's do this. So then, you know, I've had many hats while I've been at the shelter. I went from that job to being the event coordinator and the marketing person. And then I had a little break in my time there. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back, I was the volunteer coordinator. And
oh, that's cool.
Only this summer I moved into my new role, which is the development manager. So
what does a development manager do?
So I basically am handling all of the legacy program donors, grant writing. That one's a fun one.
Yeah, I heard you say like that off air that you got to work on some grant or something today.
Yeah, I have a grant due this week and two due next week.
Oh
so.
My gosh. Is that challenging? Just like a lot of paperwork?
It's a lot of writing, and I've been out of practice with writing from, you know, college days, so I got to get back into it, but it's actually not as hard as I thought it was going to be, so not as daunting, but and a lot of donor relations is what I'm handling these days.
Okay,
so making sure that they continue on and you have that relationship with them and they know where their money's going, stuff like that.
Exactly.
Cool.
Okay, how about you, Valerie?
I was volunteering, and then just one day our director of operations said, hey, can you come in? Can you follow me? Went into the HR. And
they said, you're awesome. And, right? That's how we know that's part of the story.
We want to pay you.
There was,
take our money.
Three positions, and they're like, pick one.
Wow.
Really? They just laid out three?
That's rare. Okay? Yeah. Like, to be like, we want to hire you for anything.
Do you remember the three?
It was my position, community cat coordinator. It was a kennel tech. Oh, what was the other one? I think it was front desk. I can't remember.
Either front desk or adoptions.
Oh,
or something.
Yeah. You
adoptions.
The best
I think
one.
It was adoptions.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think I went with my position because it's with the community. Mm. I'm going out and I'm talking to the cat people out there.
Okay.
I'm helping
the cat people. Cat people.
We have to still add crazy.
No.
I'm just kidding.
She's the.
We have the most passionate caregivers out there. Have a registration called Cat Stats. Mm-hmm. So if you are out there with a colony feeding cats, it could be at your home, it could be behind, you know, a fast food area. I know you guys have seen the cats everywhere in Yuma. The people that take care of the cats and feed them and get them spayed and neutered, they are registered and signed up with the Cat Stats. Oh. So I'm able to see who is taking care of who. Mm-hmm. And they ask for TNR. And TNR is trap, neuter, return, or release.
Okay.
It's for the community cats that we're trying to get away from feral. Okay.
Gotcha.
Feral is like a negative word for the cats.
Yeah.
So we're
and that would mean what? Like not neutered, like totally wild. Like
so
what?
Feral is wild.
Okay.
Out in the wild. You hear feral, you're thinking mean cat.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, we have a lot of friendly outside cats. Mm-hmm. And
we have one in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
We call him Julius. And he visits us every day. But he visits everybody.
Yeah.
We don't feed him, but he loves us.
Someone's feeding him.
Yeah, our next door neighbor. So he's like, oh, they'll give me food. But he's super sweet and he's very kind. But he's an outside cat. Yeah. We don't know, no collar, no nothing, but he's very nice.
Yeah.
And if you want to know if any of those cats outside have been through the Humane Society, has been spayed, neutered, vaccinated, you'll look at their left ear and it'll have a tipped ear, clipped ear, a little piece of ear missing. That does not hurt them.
Okay.
When they are sedated, they tip it, they get neutered or spayed, they get vaccinated, and they get a green little tattoo on their belly. If you see any cat like that, They went through our program. Thanks. It's okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so, yeah, off air, you're saying you're a cat coordinator. And then, yeah, like, how do you coordinate cats? Because I've heard that's a very difficult process. And now it makes more sense.
Yeah, exactly.
That you're coordinating with people on how to get rid of this problem or this issue, but do it in a humane way.
Right. Yeah. So our caregivers, they call the Humane Society. They're trying to get a hold of me. There's certain ways to get a hold of me, but my main focus is trying to reach them as soon as I can, get them appointments for their community cats, and get them in and out and go back to their colony and live a healthy life.
They have a whole colony. They have a whole family.
Yes. Yeah. Each colony that is signed up ranges anywhere from 10 to 20 cats, sometimes 30, 40.
Wow. Yep.
And so that's what you're trying to prevent also, right? Is that obviously through the spay and neuter, right, that you don't have these huge colonies everywhere, right?
Yeah. It's like, we're trying to lower that population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which almost seems impossible or like a huge task because,
they're everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere, literally everywhere. Like I just saw a few, I forget where I was walking, and I'm like, why are there cats here? Kennedy Park. I was
watching you.
They were in the pool area. They were enjoying our Kennedy pool that's been empty since COVID. But yeah, there was a whole bunch of them over there. And I'm like, wow, they just live there. They just hang out, you know?
That is their home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what we want to do is the cats that are there, we want to keep them there. Mm-hmm. That is home. They have a caregiver. They're getting fed. Mm. And they're also working for that area. Not only are they hanging out, they're actually working in that area. They're decreasing the rodent population. They're taking care. Yeah. They're taking care of the rodents.
Okay.
We've actually, I've talked to the manager of Desert Hills, and we asked him recently, "How's your gopher problem?" He said, "Way better than what we used to because of the cats."
Oh, okay. So they have a different maybe a view on the cats through some education.
Yes.
Saying like, okay, yeah, they're here. They're friendly, they're all right, but they're going to take care of, like you said, these pests or whatever that you don't want there that are actually disturbing the soil, doing these things. Yeah, be friendly with them, make sure they're spayed and neutered, but they're part of the solution, not the problem.
Yeah.
Right, right. As long as we're getting them in and getting them vaccinated and spayed and neutered, and they go right back to where they call home.
Sure.
And the caregivers love their cats. Mm-hmm. Even though they're not their inside cats, they take very good care of those outside cats.
Mm-hmm. Where have you guys always been animal people? Like since little, have you known that this is always what you wanted to do? Or like maybe be a vet or something? I wanted to be a vet. So growing up, I wanted to be a monkey doctor.
Oh, that's
cool.
That's
what I would say, but obviously I'm not.
Yeah. I don't know.
I work with Johnny.
I don't know. I don't know what she does when she's out of here. She could be a monkey doctor. I have no idea.
Or like we're going to zoo. Or I always wanted to be a vet. Yeah. Like the surgery. Like, you know, dog gets hit, I go save its life. But like I just never did. So what about you guys?
I mean, like any girl of the 90s, growing up in the 90s, I wanted to be a marine biologist for a little while there.
Girl in the 90s.
I saw something recently that was like, you know, you're you grew up in the 90s if you wanted to be a marine biologist.
Is that because of Little Mermaid or what?
I have no idea.
I've never heard that.
Well,
my dad actually worked at San Diego State University, so I had a really close relationship with that campus, and he was friends with the science professors. So I spent a long time in my childhood around a lot of that, and very, very cool, unique experiences. So I wanted to do something like that, but then I realized I'm terrified of the ocean, so that's probably not the best career for me. And then I wanted to be an architect, and then it didn't work out. So I actually have my degree in interior design.
Wow.
That is totally different from what I do now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you do that on the side at all?
No, I've never worked in interior design.
Never? You have your degree and you've never done it.
You just had a degree and then you're like, no.
Yeah, basically, I graduated in 2012 and that was, you know, the height of a hard time to find a career. Mm-hmm. I did a couple of internships and I really enjoyed those, but then I decided like, this maybe isn't for me, and I got a job at a caterer. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, maybe catering is my thing.
Yeah.
But moving out here, I didn't see a whole lot of options, you know, back in 2014. And so I know they were there, but I didn't have enough experience to really think that I could work for them. And so then that's, you know, meanwhile in San Diego, like I said, I had done
work with that rescue.
Yeah.
And so coming out here, it just felt really natural. I was like, well, you know, maybe animal welfare is my thing. Yeah. And turns out it really is.
Yeah, exactly. You found it. Your calling.
Yes. Very cool.
Yeah.
And what about you? Did you know animals was always your thing?
No. We always had animals at home, but I never thought of it as a career. Architect.
Really?
It was very strange. I loved making blueprints. I was very young making my own homes, and
I love that.
And then one cool. day somebody said, you're gonna have to be super good at math to be an architect. And I was like, oh well, there goes
check that real quick.
She's like, wow, okay, moving on.
That's out the door. Stupid math.
Math is hard. It's hard.
Gosh.
Yeah.
So I got married and into the military, the Marine Corps. Every place that I've lived, I've volunteered. So Semper Fi Fund, USO, my children's schools, always anything to do with the community.
Cool.
And then came back here 25 years later and hadn't worked in a while. I did odd jobs here and there, mostly volunteering. And my aunt got me into the Humane Society. She's oh my gosh, she's our superhero. My aunt Susie. Hi, Susie.
Hi. What's up, Susie?
What up?
She is. Not only does she volunteer, she fosters, she donates, she comes in, and she's always asking, "What do we need?" And she brings it.
Cool.
So, started volunteering because of her, and my family's had cat colonies here. For 20, 30 years, and they've been feeding. And look at me now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now you're following the family footsteps.
Yeah, you're the cat coordinator. And I got to see some of this stuff that you coordinate with these cats. You one day, like, you make, you know, if they
invite us to the colony, hang out.
You know, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back, talk a little bit more about the mission of the Humane Society. We're going to do that right after this. You're listening to What's Up Yuma Radio right here on 94.7 KOFA Border Radio.
Ever wanted to be on the radio? Still talking into your hairbrush in the mirror? Border Radio needs you as a volunteer host. Share music, stories, and local conversations that matter. No experience necessary. We'll provide the training. Email info@borderradioaz.org or call 877-838-5292 for more information.
Good morning. This is Cecilia Holland Braithwaite from the KWC Newsroom. The Gadsden Elementary School District 32 is now offering weekend lunches and snacks to families during the federal shutdown. Weekend lunches and snacks will be at Southwest Junior High School and San Luis Middle School from 10:30 until 12:30 each Saturday and Sunday. Families need not be enrolled in the district to accept the help. More details at kawc.org.
From KAWC, this is Siendo Primero.
Being First is a program created by students for students.
My name is Ajay Barcenas.
And my name is Evelyn Garcia. Here we will share stories, information, and voices that connect with students' life.
Cada sábado les traeremos un nuevo tema directamente a tus oídos.
This show is available as a podcast or online. Just search kawc.org under the show's tab. A new vision with the same mission. To give students a voice.
What's up, Yuma? Welcome back to What's Up Yuma Radio. We're here talking to Hillary and Valerie, both cat people. I'm not going to say crazy, Ronnie. They're cat people. They're normal people like us as well. But no, we're talking about the Humane Society.
Crazy.
Okay, she says crazy. I'm going to say
it. But I consider myself a crazy cat person. Okay. So I would never call you anything.
Yeah. I'm just teasing.
I'm totally
joking.
But I mean, it's like living with a lion. It's like we are crazy, right?
House panther. There's house a reason panther. We call them house panthers. I have a black cat. That's what I call
really?
Them.
Oh,
that's very cool.
That's
yeah, those yeah. are those are beautiful ones.
I agree.
So I tease that we're going to talk about the mission from the Humane Society. What is the main goal for the Humane Society as a whole? Besides, I know cats are one, but you also take dogs and
Absolutely. Well, our mission statement overall is to reduce the population of homeless pets in Yuma through adoption, rescue, and spay and neuter programs. So above all else, that is what we aim to do. You know, last year we took in 6,700 animals.
Wow.
Mostly dogs and cats, but we do get an odd tortoise or pig or goat, etc.
Gerbil.
Oh, you want to
get a little bit closer? Yeah.
Yeah. So, what do you do when those show? Like, people are just like, I can't take care of my gerbil anymore. So can you take it?
Sometimes they come in stray, a stray hamster. Which,
they showed up in someone's house. Or here, take this random hamster.
Exactly. Really, that's not stray. No, we tend to have fosters who will take those small animals. Oh, we don't we're not really set up to have, you know, adoption rooms for the smaller breed animals. So, we have fosters that will come and pick them up. And
can you get more into that? My friend Tara is a foster, and she'll like take a dog with her somewhere. And I'm like, oh, you got another dog?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no, I'm fostering. And I'm like, oh, so explain.
Yeah.
How do you even become that?
I didn't know you were friends with Tara.
Yeah. Hi, Tara.
I love Tara too.
Yeah, she's great.
Tara has actually done amazing with some dogs that really needed some socialization.
Okay.
So, people, we are always looking for fosters.
Okay.
Even if you don't foster, you know, an animal for very long, if you're getting one out of the shelter, it's giving that animal a break.
Sure.
It's giving it a chance to be in a home environment. And a lot of people are like, won't that be sad for it to go back to the shelter? Don't look at it that way. You know, the dog or the cat is happy to get out and be in a new environment, right? Okay. So we need fosters for all sorts of things, though. You know, it's not the height of kitten season right now. That'll be coming when it starts warming up again.
Okay.
But we always need fosters to bottle feed kittens.
Oh.
It is challenging, but it is so rewarding when you raise a kitten from a couple weeks old to adulthood. I mean, not even adulthood, but it is so, so rewarding to see that animal grow and care for it, just like human babies, you know.
Exactly.
But, you know, we have fosters who take care of kittens and cats. We have medical fosters. We have fosters who do big dogs, small dogs, et cetera. So, and then like your friend Tara, we'll take ones that need a little bit more socialization. So we have fosters that will work with them on their behaviors and things like that.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're interested in fostering, definitely check us out. We have a foster coordinator who is extremely dedicated.
Nice.
She loves to match people with the right animal. And sometimes...
She's a matchmaker.
She really is. Sometimes you might not end up bringing that animal back. Sometimes you
that just
fall
happened
in love.
To our friend Melissa.
Did it?
She fostered and now she has a third dog. And I'm like, I knew it. I told her the second you bring it home, you're gonna keep it.
Yep. I'm a terrible foster. I say that because I've bottle fed kittens and I have two foster girls myself. So. Yeah, but I do love it.
So that's definitely a need out there, right, that you need to do that. And real quick, how do people get involved if they want to be part of the trap and release? How do they get involved with that as well?
Go to our website, hsoyuma.com, and click on Help and Services. Click on Community Cats, and there's so much information to read. And at the very bottom, you're able to contact me and set up your colony if you want on Cat Stats.
Yeah.
And everything is there on our website, fostering, volunteering. Volunteerism is very, very important for us as well.
Yeah. I've done that before, the trap and release. I went in, and I think you had to put a deposit down for the cages, and then you get the cage back, and then you get your deposit back or something.
Yes.
Because, there was a cat that, in my area that was constantly having kittens. And, and they would show up on my door.
Aww.
Like, she would bring them, like, seriously. And I'm like, okay, I can't do this anymore.
I can't be the dad.
Yeah, this is too much. Because then what I would do, I would take care of them and then put them on pictures on Facebook and say, okay, anybody want cats, you know? And it just got to be too much. And it's like, okay, I learned about that program. And I went over there and I did that. So and that worked. There's no more kittens at my door. So
I love adopting. When growing up, we got our animals at the shelter.
Thank
puppies.
You.
Yeah, like puppies,
so
of course. But they were great. Yeah. I love the shelter. It was always fun to kind of just go walk around. I mean, if you take the sad part away thinking, oh, they're stuck there. But, you know, hopefully they find homes.
It's temporary, you know, and that, above all else, is our goal, is to find the right homes for these animals. A lot of them are coming to us stray. Some are coming to us, unfortunately, because their owner couldn't care for them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we have programs in place, too. So, you know, if people are, you know, having financial troubles, you know, we do have a food pantry program, which sadly, you know, is having more and more people come to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we help the community in any way. We want to keep animals out of the shelter, and that's one of the main focuses of our TNR program, is that when kitten season comes around, you know, people mean well, but we get shoeboxes with newborn kittens in them all the time, and when they have been taken from their mother, it is so hard their survival rate is pretty low. So, you know, that's part of the education that Valerie does as well, is making sure that people know, if you find kittens, wait and watch. You know, see if their mom has come back. She might just be out hunting, finding food,
that's very
right?
true. Go getting a mouse.
Yeah. and then TNR, you know, you're re-releasing those cats back into the community. They're not going to be reproducing anymore. So it's a monumental goal task, but we, over time, will see the reduction. We already have seen the reduction. So we're just really hopeful that the community can continue helping us with our mission.
Yeah, and I have a friend I just saw, she's doing something there now, Jennifer. She's doing something. What is she doing?
She's our new events coordinator.
Okay. Yay. She's doing the events. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw she put that on. So it's like events is also like the furball?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she's going to be handling our major events and coordinating with the community events as well. We have lots and lots of events. The weather's nice now, so everyone's having their events and asking us to come out. I think we're actually going to be coming to the campus here with some dogs on December 1st. So,
okay.
Yeah, a little TBD on that.
We'll be here. Awesome. I love the furball name. That's hilarious.
I know. My sisters always laugh. They're like, I can't take that seriously. But it is, I mean, I'm biased, but it is my favorite event.
Okay. It's a very nice event. It's a very nice event. Yeah.
Hillary does amazing.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Can you, we only have a few minutes left, but can you tell me why is microchipping so important? Like the process, maybe? Is it painless for the animal? Like, what happens?
It's a little grain of rice.
Really?
And it's a needle in between the shoulder blades. We microchip cats and dogs every day.
Okay.
It's a walk-in. So if we're open 10 to 5, it's a walk-in. They all you have to do is fill out the paperwork. You don't need any vaccination records or anything. Just bring it in.
Sure.
Fill out what you need to. The microchip is $20.
That's cheap.
They go into the back.
Mm-hmm.
It takes not even a minute.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Somebody holds, somebody puts it in.
And then you can track your animal?
Yes.
And there's like an app or
now,
something?
Now, here's the kicker.
Uh-oh, here's the big news. What's up?
The microchip's in there. The next step is to go and register all of your information. So we have a story. There's a big orange cat that came in.
Mm-hmm.
It had a microchip. We did all the digging we could. The owner never registered
never
the cat.
Updated. Mm-hmm.
So the cat is in the shelter now, being taken care of medically, you know.
Yeah.
We're checking it out. And it's either going to get TNR'd or it's going to get adopted. We don't know yet.
So very important to do that.
Yeah, sure.
So as we wrap up, if somebody wants to volunteer and get involved, how do they do that?
Yeah, so if you are interested in volunteering, we are also always looking for volunteers, and there are myriad tasks that you can do. You can be at the shelter, or we also have our PetSmart location or our thrift store location as well. Always need volunteers for all of that.
Okay.
If you want to, we have a lot of students who will come to us in the summertime because they want to get into vet med, and so they'll volunteer in our clinic.
I like that.
It's amazing. We have so many opportunities. So if you're interested, definitely check out our website, hsoyuma.com, and under the Support Us tab is a there's a drop down menu, and there's a page on volunteering. So
all
right,
amazing.
Well, thank you so much.
Guys,
I appreciate you guys for coming on. And when you guys bring you're bringing dogs, you said, over here at AWC. All right, we're gonna have
studio.
To check that out. Yeah. Bring them by over here.
Will do.
I have to say hi. So thank you again so much. Appreciate everything that you do over there at the Humane Society.
Chili from Philly,
Nick Papa Giorgio from Mule.